This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. He brought me to his banquet. His banner over me is love. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. He loves us. We're his children. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Amen. Amen. Just as the Father has loved me, says Jesus, I also loved you. Abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full. That always amazes me. The oneness between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The love that they have. That connection which I can't even understand. We get. Loves us. Joy. He wants that same joy between the Father and the Son for us. You being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or sword? But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing separates us from the love of God. Nothing we've done, nothing we can do, nothing created. God loves us that much. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? It's not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, in whom I've suffered the loss of all things. Count them but rubbish that I may gain Christ. And so, those who are chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Take care, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Good, good stuff, brother.
Did you write those down this morning, or is that something you read like every day?
You know, I jotted these down. My mind just goes to different stuff wherever it's at. You can tell from this where my mind was at here. And that's what I do. It just helps me. It puts me like I'm in a good mood. I read I'm in a good mood. I've got my focus set for today. It's a beautiful thing. If it's okay, can I pray for a couple minutes for you guys? I've been praying for you ever since they asked me to come and do this. I didn't know you by names, and I didn't know where you were coming from, but I knew you were coming here wanting a great weekend. And so every day I just set in my heart to pray for you, pray for your needs. Whatever they are, God knows. And so I want to just continue that this morning for a minute or two. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We are amazed, Father, that no matter what we've done, no matter who we are, no matter what things seem shameful to us, you forgive us and you call us close and you don't shame us and you will never let anything happen to separate us from your love. Gracious Lord, you know I've come to you so often with these men on my heart. These are good men with good hearts. They come, though, Father, as all of us do, with life experiences. Some of them have been really difficult. Some have come from places that have been really hard on them. Homes that have been difficult. Things that have happened. Things that have shattered their hearts. Broken them, disappointments, profound disappointments, profound pain, broken relationships, addictions, things that are confusing, things they don't understand. But we cry out to you, God. You are the God of miracles, and we know, as you have taught us in your word, even as we talked about this morning, that you promise us help, you promise us peace. I pray that for each of these men today, Father, and for their loved ones. Whatever is going on in their hearts, I ask that this day you just touch them as only the miraculous God that you are, and that you can bring some healing today to their heart. Touch them with your tenderness. Touch them with your joy. I don't know the details, but I know you know them, and I know that each man here is special to you, Father, that you called them here and you have a great plan for their life, that good things that you have set especially for each of them. And some of those are spectacular and wide, and some of those are just small and quiet, but to you they're all amazing, as these men are. Thank you, Father, for the privilege today to be with these men. The few conversations that I've had with these guys since I've arrived have been just amazing. They are truly men after your heart who who hunger for you and have taken time to come here to learn more and to refresh and to hang out with other guys and to have some fun and to have some meaningful times. And that's what I ask for this morning. Let my words be your words, Father, and don't let me get in the way. And your word that we read this morning, I'm so thankful for that. Let that go deep into their hearts. Let the things that we talk about today be meaningful to them. Give them a fun time this morning and a meaningful time. And again, Lord, whatever they bring today, that you encourage their hearts with that. We do love you, Father, and we are humbled by how gracious you are to us. And so now, Father, we're going to spend a few minutes talking about important principles, and help us to do that and to make sense out of those. In your sweet name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. It's good to be with you guys. My job, my ministry these last 40 years has been spending time with people. People come to me from all walks of life, all over, everywhere. And they come looking for answers to life, spiritual answers, life answers. They come with every imaginable situation. They're just like you and me. They come from difficult backgrounds. They have addictions, they have chemical imbalances, they have broken relationships, they've had profound disappointments, and they're wanting help, they're wanting truth. And what I found in common over all these years talking to so many people is that God has made us with lots of commonalities, lots of things we share, and yet he's also made us unique and special. No two of us are alike, and God has a special design for each of us as well. All of us want to be loved. We want to give love. We don't want a lot of pain. We don't want a lot of physical pain. We don't want to be rejected. We don't want a lot of conflict. We don't want to be criticized. We want our relationships to go well. We want our loved ones to do well. We don't want to suffer great losses, whatever those are, whether they be health losses or physical losses or losses of jobs or relationship losses. We want meaning. We want our lives to have a sense of peace, sense of joy, sense of contentment. That's how God designed us. We're all that way. We all want that. So how do we do that when life deals us so many things? Today, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about a few principles from God, things that have really helped me and helped a lot of people. I don't know how much time we're going to have, so I'm going to walk through a few of these. And the first one that I want to spend some time on, and you may think it's a little bit unusual, but it's an important one. What I found is that God designed our body and our brain to work a certain way. And when we follow how our body and brain are supposed to be, and they're a healthy brain, then life goes better. With an unhealthy brain, we have difficulty sleeping. We have more anxiety. We have depression. We have more conflict. We don't understand. We have brain fog. We don't think as well. We don't make as good of decisions. We're prone towards mood swings and anger. So you get the brain firing properly and the body firing properly, and all of a sudden, I'm not saying that life becomes easy or simple, but what it does happen is that we're able to think better, sleep better, our relationships go better. So God wants us to have a healthy body. And you probably know a lot of the stuff that I'm going to say. I hope you do. You know, I'm a simple guy, and I want to communicate simple truth. Like I read there, Satan wants to trick us in making life more complicated than God wanted it to be. And he said, take care lest the Satan deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. So the things we're going to talk about today are simple, simple that all of us get, you know, not rocket science. So with our bodies, this is the stuff I want to talk about first. This is the first tool that God has given us to help us in our lives. Okay, so the brain. I'm going to spend more time on the brain because that's a lot of the focus. So how do we have a good brain? Well, it's common sense. If you put jet fuel into a Volkswagen engine, it's not going to run great. Or opposite, you put regular gasoline into a jet, it's not going to run. So God designed my brain to work a certain way. It's mostly made up of fat. So it needs fat. It needs proteins. Now, there's this stuff called neurotransmitters. Now, that's the stuff that makes the brain fire and puts me in a good mood and helps me think clearly, depending on what part of brain. So I'm going to give a little simple neurology, neurochemical lesson. Okay, and this is simplified. So just picture with me that the brain fires this stuff called neurotransmitter. And it fires out from one cell, and it tries to connect to another cell. Okay, so this is a synaptic gap. So it fires out here. And like keys to locks, it fits perfectly. Now, when it fits perfectly, this neurotransmitter, serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine, then I have a good firing, okay? With a good firing, I think well, I do well. That's the stuff that I was talking about before. With a misfiring, I don't think so good, okay? So how do I get my brain to fire properly in today's society? Okay, well, one way is to put the right kind of fuel in it. So what causes this stuff? What's the makeup of neurotransmitter? Proteins, amino acids. So I need to be eating good proteins and good fats. Okay, now what creates problems for this neurotransmitter stuff? Well, there's a lot of things that create problems for it. A lot of sugar, a lot of processed foods. That causes all kinds of stuff to where it doesn't work properly. A lack of exercise, lack of water, lack of sleep. There's a lot of things that get this neurotransmitter stuff off that then causes us what we call technically a chemical imbalance. Now, a lot of us in here have our chemistry off. It gets off because we're not feeding it properly, but it also gets off other ways. And this gets a little complicated, but guys, this is essential for us to understand. How do we get our chemistry off? Well, one way you get your chemistry off, you didn't ask for this at all. It's through genetics. What your parents were like, what your grandparents were like, how they took care of their brains and their bodies gets handed down. It skips some generations, but it gets handed down. So if they have some chemistry issues going on, that then they had some issues of addictions or anger or a brain fog or whatever, then all of a sudden some of the stuff that you're doing during the day and you're wondering why my world doesn't seem to work and I'm not thinking, that got handed down directly. Okay, so your chemistry can be off and you're not even sure that it's off. Okay, so that's one way, genetics. Another way, which is even more complicated, is just the stress of life and the traumas of life. It's kind of like your foot on the gas pedal. So if you're going 20 miles an hour, okay, in your car, you're using up a little bit of gas. All right, if you're going 120 miles an hour, okay, then you're using up a lot of gas. The way we live our lives, when we're filled with stress, when we've got a lot of trauma that's happened in our lives, a lot of upsets, a lot of disappointments, that's like putting the gas pedal, the pedal to the metal. You use up your supply of neurotransmitter. As you use up that supply of neurotransmitter faster than you can produce it, guess what? Your chemistry's off. And if your chemistry goes off, then again, you're prone to all of those things that happen. So stress does that. Trauma does that. Genetics does that. Another way that it gets off, again, is by the foods that we eat. If you're not feeding your brain, because the brain goes down every couple hours. Most people don't know that. But if you eat sugars and things early in the morning and whatnot, about 20 minutes after you eat some sugar, you get a nice feel, but then your brain crashes. If you're eating proteins and fats, it'll last 2-3 hours. So one of the things to do throughout the day is just eat some good protein and good fat. Now, what I mean by that, and a lot of you know this, but I'm just going to say it. Okay, so good fats, that's nuts, that's avocados. Those are good sources of fats. What's good protein? Now, processed meat, we eat a lot of that, but that's not your best source. Just regular meat, a steak, a hamburger, chicken, pork, you know, those are good proteins. Beans, good proteins. Proteins, fats, you need that. Hydration. The brain works good when it's hydrated enough. Okay, I'm gonna talk just for a second. I'm gonna make a correlation when it comes to the body about that stress. Because I brought it up, but I want to make a corollary to that, because also this is the way the body is designed by God. Do you realize that when we're under stress, the body has 1,500 negative responses? 1,500 negative responses to stress. Okay, there's this whole field devoted to the effects of stress on the body. It's called psychoneuroimmunology. And you remember that video game Pac-Man. Okay, so there's a part of the immune system called the killer cells. And that's the technical name of them. They're part of the immune system. Now, those killer cells look like Pac-Man, okay? So they look like this. Now, when the immune system is functioning properly and it's in high gear, it comes up to a toxin in the body or a bacteria, and it just grabs on and it devours it, okay? And that's what keeps us healthy, on one hand, from those invaders and those stealth pathogens and all the stuff that come into our system. All right, now, when you're under stress and you've been stressed for quite a while, what happens is, first off, the body makes less of these killer cells. And then the second thing is, these killer cells are not as strong. So they go up to some bacteria or toxins, and they don't devour it. Well, if they don't devour the bacteria and the toxins in your system, guess what happens? You get sick. How many of you have had stress going on at work or stress at home or been upset about something, and then boom, after that, boom, you got sick. Got a cold, got the flu, got some other kind of illness or disease? Well, that's that whole field of psychoneuroimmunology. Your immune system begins to go down. So keep the immune system strong. Again, now some of that's nutrition. There's a lot of good nutrition out there, nutritional supplements. Berries are good to eat. That keeps your immune system up. Antioxidants, there's a lot of stuff. So taking a good whole food vitamin is important. Okay, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on how God designed the body and nutrition and exercise, but what I'm telling you, this is of utmost importance. If you're wanting to live a healthy life, which I know you do, and you want to follow the Lord, which I know you do, and you want great relationships, and you want to have a clear focus, and you don't want to be prone towards anger or towards low frustration tolerance, flying off the handle, or you don't want stress to affect you, you got to take care of your brain. You got to take care of your body. It's essential. It's one of the most important tools. You can read your Bible and you can pray, which is outstanding and wonderful. But if your brain chemistry is off, you have a hard time retaining it. You have a hard time being consistent in your walk with the Lord. Okay? All this makes sense so far? Okay, good. Any questions or thoughts before I move on to another tool? Okay, good. And I'm hoping you knew most of this stuff. This is a reminder today, guys, of all of that. All right, let's do the next tool. The next tool that I want to talk about is the laws of linearity and controllable and uncontrollable pain. Okay, laws of linearity, fancy term. What it just means is cause and effect. Okay, so if I walk up to you and call you a stupid idiot, there's a good chance you're going to punch me in the nose, okay? Cause and effect. If I decide that I don't want to go to work and I go fishing every day and I don't go to work, there's a high likelihood that I'm going to get fired, okay? Those are the laws of linearity. Laws of linearity say that most of the time, not all of the time, that there is cause and effect in the world, that the things that I think and the logical progression of that will lead to a conclusion, okay? So good thinking leads many times to good conclusions. Okay, now, there is a way to follow the laws of linearity and therefore have less controllable pain. Controllable pain are those things in our life that happen that they never had to happen. That means that we thought through life, we were reflective, our brain was working good, we had a good philosophy of life, good sound thinking, good relationships, and it led us in a logical progression to where we made good decisions and a lot of the things in life we never had to experience. Now, that's ideal. Unfortunately, many times our thinking breaks down, we're not real linear in our thinking, and we end up taking on more pain than God ever intended us to have in our life, okay? So, we're gonna give some examples of those linear thinking and how we have some logic and therefore not have so much controllable pain. Then the whole other area that I wanted to talk about is uncontrollable pain. These are the things in our life, small as well as large, that happen. They happen on a regular basis. And there are things that were out of our control. And yet God has equipped us to deal with these things. And these are from small things that irritate us to huge things that are just overwhelming, that we don't know how we're going to deal with these things. So what I thought, if you guys would participate with me, let's come up with a list of things as we talk about this tool that God's given us on how to deal with this uncontrollable pain. Let's come up with a list, small or large, that you can think of right now that are uncontrollable pain. I'm going to jot these down. They can be small things. I'll give you a hint. Somebody, pulls in front of you on the freeway. Doug mentioned that this morning. Okay, I didn't ask for that, and yet somebody pulled me off, and then I've got a response to that. That's uncontrollable pain. Okay, let's go through about 15 or 20 of those, and I need your help to that. Okay, so I'm gonna start us off with the first one being, all right, somebody cut me off. That happens a lot in California. I'm from Texas, but I tell you, California driving is a whole different thing. You're bumper to, in Texas, and particularly for a while I spent time in Tyler, Texas. So there are maybe 5 cars on the road. Okay, out here, you're going 70, 80 miles an hour, and you're bumper to bumper, and if you breeze, somebody cuts you off. And if you're, you get it. You all drive here. You know that. Okay, and that produces a little bit of feeling, uncontrollable pain, and then our response to that. Okay, guys. Divorce. That's right. Loss of loved one. Okay, let me write that down. Okay, loss of loved one. Okay, wait. Let me turn around because I don't hear too good. Cancer. Okay. Wait, let me write that one down and then let me hear this one. Okay, what was that one? Disrespected, yes. Okay, and then somebody said something here and I couldn't hear it. Okay, that's a great thought, and we're going to get to that. Some of these things can be controlled. Some of these can't be, and we're going to ferret out. What is it that comes into my life that if I made some better decisions, never had to happen? And what are some of these things that no matter what, and no matter how hard I tried, and no matter what I did, they happened. They were uncontrollable. The weather. Yeah, the weather. We have a family, my wife's family is from Iowa, and they have a farm there, and they are completely dependent on the weather for those crops to grow. And then all those things that happen with the weather all over the world and to us. Okay. Earthquake, yes. Okay, let's put that. Okay. Okay, what else? Yes. The unsaved that we love. Absolutely. Okay, wait, loss of job?
Car problems.
Yeah, car problems. I hate car problems. People. Okay. Do what? Taxes? Yeah. Kids. What? I couldn't hear.
The Dodgers winning.
Ooh, that one's, all right. Should I even write that one? That's going to be a tricky one. I'm going to put that real small because we probably have a real mixed audience here, and we don't want to cause some other kinds of pain by making that too big. Okay, so we'll just do that one really small.
Moving?
Yes, a moving, yes. Okay. Politicians. Yes, they affect our lives uncontrollably. Okay.
The news.
Okay, I don't even know where I'm at. News.
Physical trauma,
absolutely.
Facebook,
yes. Facebook causes so many problems. It's a beautiful thing and it connects people, but on the other, and that's one that you were talking about, controllable and uncontrollable. So it does. It wounds people too. That whole thing of the cyberbullying and thing, I mean, there's a ton of stuff, but Facebook, let's do that.
A toothache.
A toothache, yeah. Yes, financial hardships.
Death.
Death?
Debt.
Debt, yes, debt. Okay. A lot of uncontrollable pain in our world. We've all experienced that. None of us are immune. We love God, and we want a great life, and we work really hard, but this hits us, and it's painful. And it shatters our lives. It breaks our hearts. Okay, what do we do with this? Okay, now, these things, all of these happen. We can't control them, and they happen to us. And people who love God, normal people, you and me, we have a normal response to that. We feel that when that happens. And we allow that. God wants us to feel what happens in life. We feel pain, a loss, a broken heart. Any one of those there, we have a normal reaction. This is all the normal pain that we have. And sometimes we like to fool ourselves and say, oh, you know what, I'm tough, I'm not going to let that affect me. That's baloney. It affects all of us. And if we're really honest, we hurt desperately over all of these things that have happened. And everyone in here has had some of these happen to them, small or large. None of us are immune. Okay, so the first part of this tool, which is essential, is allowing ourselves the freedom before our Heavenly Father to feel all of the pain and the disappointment and the sadness and the heartbreak. Okay? That's normal, simple, easy. Feel it. Okay, now, then comes, so with this comes sadness, anger, confusion, frustration. At this point, we have a choice. And this is a choice. At this point, we can let that take control. And we've all done that. And what comes as a result of that is hanging on to the anger, bitterness, resentment, feeling disconnected, isolated, lots of it, stress. Okay. This is many times a normal reaction, but not the best thing to do. We all do this. We all get here, we feel the normal reaction, and then we take this to a place that God never wanted, and we hang on to it. Okay, now, we have the choice, though, of taking this normal emotion and coming over here, and this is what you guys do, okay? Again, this is not new stuff, but this is important. What you do is you take all that you've learned in your life of who God is, of how life is, you take a philosophy, and all of you have a philosophy. All of you have truth in your heart that you know about the way the world is. All of you have some kind of a relationship to other people that are healthy that can kind of, you can share or have guidance from. You have a system inside you, is what I'm saying. God gave you that. He designed it to where you can cry out to Him. Even some of the things like we read this morning, the scriptures, to put your heart at ease so that you can cry out and say, you promised me peace, God. I'm devastated. I'm broken. I'm lost. Okay. Now, this is where this gets real important. I know all of you do that. There's nobody in here that doesn't feel the pain of emotion. There's nobody in here that doesn't hang on to it too long at times. And there's none of you that don't also cry out to God and use every tool that you have in your life about all that God has promised or all that we hope for to encourage our hearts, okay? Now, here's where the tool comes in, though. At doing that, many of you probably get a moment of relief, maybe even longer, okay? And depending on the severity of that situation is how long that feeling of peace or, okay, God, you didn't take this pain away, but I can live another day. I can do this, God. Okay. Now, this is where the tool comes in. And guys, this is essential for our relationship with God. As long as it takes, using every tool that you already have in your bag to bring peace to your heart in that moment, you do that. When this pain comes, whether it be a loss of a loved one or somebody cutting you off or any one of these things, you come before God and you come before not only God at times, but a relationship, and you work that out in your heart until you genuinely feel like, okay, I may not understand this. The pain didn't go away. Sometimes it does, but I'm okay. I've got peace with you, God. Okay, you know what I'm talking about because all of you have done this. Now, you wait and you do this long enough. You don't leave that conversation with God and with a loved one until you've got that in your heart. Okay, when you've got that in your heart and you know what I'm talking about, okay, you're good in that moment, then this is what happens. Depending on the severity, some things are so painful that I got peace, and then the next moment, I'm feeling it all over again, right? It came back. I'm hurt again. I'm devastated. I can't live without this person, God. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Or this health issue is too big. Or I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. So we come back here feeling all the emotion. Okay, now, whether that's a minute that it happens or an hour or a day, whenever I'm leaving this place and I'm coming back here, when it comes back, I have that choice all over again. I can become bitter. I can hold on to it. I can hate life. I can hate God. I can hate people. Or I can surrender that again and find the peace of God. The key to this, which is maybe a little different and that I'm really wanting to bring home today, is not how often I feel this pain, because this happens all the time. And it's not how often I even go here and hold on to it. It's how quickly I leave here and I come to here, which is this place of peace, okay? Didn't mean the pain went away. It just meant I'm good to go today. And then what's even more important is after I have that, however long it takes, because sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes your mind is so filled with such pain that it takes a long time. You're on your face before God crying out, I don't feel this, God. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. And you cry and you cry on your face before God. But guess what? Tears in the evening, joy. Tears through the night, joy comes in the morning. If we do that, and I know you've all experienced that, if you do that long enough, you get this sense of okay with God. Okay. When you have that, you as often as it takes, you come to that place. And even if it happens in a minute and it's gone in the next minute, the trick of this, guys, is you go back there. You don't stay stuck. Staying stuck and staying in this place, okay, or staying with all this emotion without bringing peace is torturous. It hurts us and it affects our lives. So the key to me, and this is what's hard to do, this isn't a simple task, is whenever I'm feeling this, as quickly as I can, even if I got here, I go here, okay? I got to go here, and then even if that leaves me. So some days, depending on how severe it is, and I know you've experienced that with really painful stuff, loss of loved ones, loss of finances, all like that, it's like, okay, I got there, and then 5 minutes later, I'm worried again. I'm anxious again, and then I'm crying out with that verse. Okay, God, you said I don't need to be anxious about anything. Give me peace, God. Okay, all right, I got it now. I'm here, and then another 20 minutes, I'm here again. Okay, so some days, depending on the severity, we're like this, okay? That's all right. God doesn't really care how often I go here, and he really doesn't want me to spend much time here, although all of us will visit this. He certainly doesn't want us to live our lives here, and he doesn't care how often we do this as long as we do this. and that we live our life here. If I've got a circle all day long, and some days, I'll be honest with you, I do that. Some days, life is so painful, and in my world like yours, this is what I do all day, is I talk about pain all day, every day, and I get tired of it. I cry almost every day because of all the sadness that's in our world. It shreds me. It breaks my heart the way the world is and the way that our lives are. And so some days I'm angry, and some days I'm frustrated, and I'm overwhelmed, and I have a hard time. But I've made this a discipline in my life, my entire life, to just come here and come before God and get that peace. And then it leaves me, and then I come back again. And it leaves me, and I come back again. And so some days I'm this guy. I'm doing this all day long because I'm human and I'm frail and I'm fragile and I can't get this figured out for very long. So I get this peace and it's gone. And I hate that it's gone because I really want it like you guys for it to stay all day long. Because I'm like those guys that I was talking about a minute ago. I don't want a lot of pain. I don't want a lot of loss. I want to be loved. I want to give love. I want my world to be easy and simple. I don't want all of this uncontrollable stuff. But I can't get that like you can. So therefore, I'm in great pain. And some days, I'm making this circle. And other days, I'm good to go. You know, somebody just cut me off on the freeway. Okay, so it didn't take me long because I've had a lot of practice with making that circle on that one. So somebody cuts me off. Okay, I'm good. Particularly when my wife's with me because she's adorable and she always puts her hand on me. And she's had to do this several times. Honey, make your passengers feel safe. So she always is telling me, don't get on that guy's tail. Just back off. We're in no rush. We're going to get there. So that circle's pretty easy for me to make, okay? Although I have to be honest, I have to make it a lot. Okay. Yeah, I wish I didn't, but I do. Okay. I'm wanting this to really resonate with you guys. I'm wanting this to come home. Not a new principle, not new, because... And again, I didn't go into all the details about your philosophy of life or your relationship with God, because you get a lot of that. You had a lot of that this weekend. Everybody's teaching you. You've had teachings. You've read the Bible. You have people pray. You pray. You've got a solid philosophy that brings you from here to here. I know that, okay? And you're building that. This is a life thing. I'm building this every day of my life, how to, you know, and that's why some of those verses are so meaningful. Okay, God, I want to have a heart of compassion. I want gentleness. I want kindness. I want to forgive others. I do that over and over in my mind. So I build this philosophy of how much God loves me, and I'm going to be in heaven with Him, and I'll see my loved ones. Whatever aspect of the philosophy of Christianity, the philosophy of life, the relationships that you have with other people, you bring in all of that stuff to get you here, okay? And you know what I'm talking about. Use all of that. Build that every day of your life. That's why, to me, I let myself do that mind drift in the morning. There's nothing better for me because I get screwed up in my head. I've been, you know, I'm one of those fortunate ones. I came from a home where my parents knew the Lord, and I had a great life, and I've had profound disappointments throughout my life, but I started at a good place, and I've been loved on, but... Did that make me immune to all of the uncontrollable pain in the world? No, I got a lot of it. And I'm like you guys. My start may have been different, but where I am today is just where you are. I've had profound heartache and disappointment. And this is what helps me. This helps me more than anything, is I keep building this philosophy that keeps teaching me about the love of God, how much He loves me. And like I prayed, nothing separates me from that love. No matter what shameful things I've done, He's forgiven me. No matter what I do on a stupid day-to-day basis, He loves me and He forgives me. And no matter when I get angry or when I'm not compassionate or when I don't have empathy or when I don't have all this stuff, He helps me and He reminds me and He forgives me. And that stuff of that morning mind drift helps me so much to refocus. And I do that throughout the day. I let, like it said in there in Colossians, I let the word of Christ richly dwell within me. I let the peace of Christ be in there because it makes a difference. And that helps me get here. It leaves. I wish it would stay. And I know you're just like me. You wish it would stay, but I know it doesn't for none of you because I'm not different than you. So I know that I'm talking to you when I'm talking to me. It leaves. I don't feel this all day, every day. Nobody does. But I want to, like you do. I really want this. And so this is the practice of that. Take everything that you learn throughout your life, all of the right things that you've been taught through through the people around you, through your church, through your friends, through the Word of God, through the prayers, through conversations, all of that stuff. And jot it out if you want, you know, so that you have a good life philosophy. And then use that when you're in this place of pain. Use that to keep you away from this, even though you're going to visit that some, and keeps you here. And then use it as much as you need, but do not let your life spend your days here without making that circle. That's not what God has planned for you. He loves you too much. He wants good things for you. Hard things come into the world. We aren't going to stop that. But He has given us a plan that really does work. And if we will operate on this, our lives will be different. We can have really relative peace and relative joy. And I say that because I would be a fool with all the things that we said here to go, oh, you know what? Life's going to be a piece of cake and everything's going to be easy for you when we've listed this. And I stopped you guys. We could have gone on and on here. All of us know this. It's uncontrollable. There's a lot of stuff. Okay. Questions? Thoughts? Yes, sir. Great.
So they can't do that multiple circles.
Yes.
They can't even do one circle.
Right.
How do you deal with that?
Yes, thank you. That's a great question. His question was this. I'm going to repeat it so everybody could hear. What about those people that their situation is so brutal to them, so severe, that they can't make that circle? They're lost. They're depressed. They're anxious. They're overwhelmed. What do they do when it's so bad that they can't make that circle? What do those people do? Okay, and that is great. There's a lot that they do. Okay, so one is, my hope is that they have some kind of connection to people. God has given us wonderful people in our lives that truly want to be there for us. Healthy people who have our best interest. And one of the best things for that, when you can't make that circle, I'm a personal believer of that, is that you reach out, or that you just allow yourself and then others who are wise and who are loving get involved in your world and help you make that circle. That's one of the things. The other thing is what I was talking about before, when they are so depressed and despondent, then part of what I do with those individuals is I make sure that their brain is working okay. Because and I'm not trying to be trite with this, not like, okay, that's the right fix, is exercise and diet and sleep and hydration. But I know that when the brain is not working, it is near impossible to make that circle. It's really hard because you're not operating on the way that God designed you to do that. So I make sure that their brain is working fine, whatever means that takes. The other is good relationships. And so, because I do believe we can get to that place that we are in such pain that we can't do this on our own. And that doesn't mean that they're not a wonderful human being. It doesn't mean that they don't love God. It doesn't mean that they don't have good relationships. It just means that they're that bad. It hurt that deeply. The wound was so deep that they can't go on in that sense. And so that's what I recommend for those folks. Get help them. And if you see some of those folks, that's the other side of this. When I said we all want to be loved, but we also want to give love. You guys have good hearts, so you know people around you. You've seen some of those people that look like they can't make the circle. They don't get this. They're having a really hard time. It's okay for us to spend some time with those folks and to try and help them around that circle. I'm a big advocate of that. We not only receive love, we give love, and that's the way of God. And so that would be the most encouragement that I could do. Did you have more thoughts on that? Do you have any other ideas that you think we could do? Okay, because, you know, we're a team here. I'm not the guy up here who's got all the answers. It's like I have learned that God has touched each one of you, and you've got great wisdom, and you have great hearts. So just when I'm up here speaking about something doesn't mean that you guys don't think about this or not way ahead of me thinking about, oh, Tim, you know, did you think about this? Because this is really good. I trust in the Holy Spirit in you and what God has done in each of your lives, that you have, each one of you have everything to offer everybody else, just like whoever it is that's anywhere else. They're, you know, everybody is special to God and everybody is ordinary. And God has a plan for each person. So we all have good stuff to help other people with. And we can, the other part that I love about God, and this is taking a little journey to the side, but this love of God, like I said, we get filled up to the fullness of God, like the scriptures talked about, and we get filled with the love of God. We can do incredible things in people's lives. We don't have to have a great education. We don't have to have been trained formally about how to love or how to teach the word. All that is wonderful, and I'm not putting that down, but we can just give ourselves because we've got that inside ourselves. God created everybody. That's the design. I have the ability, without any of that education, to just go love on people and show up and be there. And that, let me take another sidestep with this, with some more research. They did some phenomenal studies. These came out of UCLA, and then they got replicated other places. But what they did is they were, again, checking out this neurotransmitter stuff that I was talking about, and they were going, okay, I wonder what relationships do as far as firing up the brain. Are relationships very good for the brain? And so they did a couple studies. One was on relationships, and one was on being in a good mood and laughter. Okay, so they hook people up, and they do brain scans. And what they found is that people who didn't have relationship and weren't real connected with other people, they had less neurotransmitter. Their brain did not make as much. And people who had good relationships and felt love in their life and could give love, their brain worked better. And the other part of it, you know, like the scriptures talk about, laughter is good medicine for the soul. Well, they found that out too, that they'd put people, and again, they did, you know, in the environment, I'm not going to go into all the details, but they put people and they showed them really sad stuff, and then they watched their brain fire, and it didn't fire so well. And then they put on, in one of the studies, I Love Lucy movies, to where everybody's just rip-roaring and laughing, and their brain literally made more neurotransmitter. Okay, now, that's not the whole answer. I'm not saying that, but they've replicated studies of prayer and good relationships and laughter is all being positive for the brain. God designed it that way. So those things work as far as adding neurotransmitter. No, they don't build proteins and they are not the building blocks of neurotransmitter, but they have a way in the brain, and we won't get into that, of making the brain work better. Okay? So again, God's right on. Build good relationships, have laughter in your life, do something meaningful with your life, and your brain will work better. Okay, any more thoughts on your question? Okay, good. Anybody else have any thoughts that want to answer to that, what to do in that situation? Okay, yes, sir.
Well, if you could speak about divorce.
Yes.
Controlled, uncontrolled, are we not getting, I mean, we should have a divorce rate should not be the same in the Christian community as it is in the world.
Yeah, I know.
What are we doing wrong?
Yeah, good. Great. The question is, in the Christian world, why is there so much divorce? It doesn't seem like we should have so much divorce. What should we do to prevent that and to help that? And that's a great, great question. I wish I had a simple answer. I think it's very complicated. Let me start this way. I personally believe that two people that have worked on their lives, okay, that surrender themselves to the Lord. And then not just that, okay, and I don't want to step on thin ice here. I'm not saying that God is not everything. Don't misunderstand me here, please. But also have taken care of their life. In other words, they have issues from their past that create a lot of stuff, and they don't solve that, and they don't get their brain chemistry right. So you end up with all kinds of stuff that you had no clue about. And then it ends up really poorly. And they end up in a place where they just, for whatever reason, they've had so much pain and so much trauma that they can't figure it out, even in a Christian home, which breaks my heart. I want to help them all. I want everybody to stay together. I'll give you some examples of this. A couple that are in this, that were in this situation. Okay, so the wife, and these are Christian people. The wife came from a really difficult background, okay? She comes to know the Lord later in life, in her 20s, before she gets married. But she had been molested. Her dad was alcoholic, and she had severe traumas throughout her life, okay? She came to the Lord. She forgave them. She had some other situations that were along those lines of sexual inappropriateness. And so she gets married. And for the first months of their marriage, it seems like things are going really well. And her husband came from a good background, didn't have much trauma. His dad was somewhat critical. His mom was a little bit critical, a little bit harsh, a little firm disciplinarians, but he was loved in a Christian home. Okay, so now, after a while that they've been married, they have a child, and then a couple years later, they have another child. And then before long, the wife now with two kids, she's exhausted. Part of the exhaustion, okay, brain chemistry, all the trauma of her life gave her headaches. Again, that neurochemistry, she had burned up a lot of it. She had some hormonal issues. She was really tired raising the two kids. She worked full time. Okay, so now she's in her 30s, which is young, and she no longer wants to have sex. So she says to her husband, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. Men are pigs. They take advantage. I don't want to do this. And he's heartbroken. He doesn't get it. And she never shared about her past with him at all. So he's clueless, okay? Uncontrollable pain. He's clueless. All he knows is that his wife is distant. His wife doesn't want to make love. His wife doesn't want to touch him. She doesn't want to be close. She pours all of her energy into the kids. And he's desperate. He doesn't know what to do. And so he's working on it. He says, let's go get counseling. And she goes, I don't really want to do that. Let's go talk with the pastor. Let's get professional. I don't want to do any of that. None of that works for me in my life. And now, even though I know God, I'm angry. I've looked at my life. I don't even want to be with you anymore. Okay? Now, this is not every scenario, but let me tell you something. A conservative figure is one out of every four people in the United States have had sexual inappropriate things happen to them, molested, hurt, men and women. And that's a real conservative figure. So, and they don't share a lot of that, and they don't share a lot of that when they got married. Okay, and their brain chemistry is off. So what happens is they carried that trauma with them, and let's say they didn't take care of their brain, and they never got counseling, they never got help. So now they're a little more irritable, a little more angry, they're prone towards, because their brain chemistry is off. What happens when your brain chemistry is off, let me give another example, a sidestep to this one, is, okay, here's the good firing, okay? Now, if I have a bad firing, meaning I don't have enough neurotransmitter, okay, or it's not communicating, it's like this. Well, when my brain is like this, it's literally hurting, and I'm wanting something to make it feel good, okay? So whether I was traumatized, whether I have stress, whether that happened genetically to me and I just wake up with, I don't feel good and I don't know why, but my chemistry is off. Well, when your chemistry is off, you're looking for something, because this is God's design, to make it work better. So this is a real important thing, because what happens at that point is we start looking for things to make our brain work like this. Well, what will fill this to make it? If we don't put neurotransmitter in, what will make our brains work? Okay, well, if you drink more than 1 ounce of alcohol in an hour, it crosses the blood-brain barrier. Okay, when it crosses the blood-brain barrier, guess what happens? One or two drinks, all of a sudden, the brain doesn't distinguish between the alcohol and between the neurotransmitter. Oh, I feel better. I got a good firing. I'm in a good mood. I find I can think better. One or two drinks and I'm good. Now I need one or two drinks all the time to feel good. Okay, now the problem with that, and I don't want to get too technical, but the more you fill your brain with stuff that is synthetic to find this neurotransmitter, God has designed protective devices on the brain and efficiency devices. So if I wasn't making enough neurotransmitter to begin with, and I started filling it with artificial stuff, and then what happens is the brain goes, hey, you got plenty. So what they do with this cell is they quit making so much. All right, now imagine that dilemma. I wasn't making enough to begin with, and my brain's already hurting. So now I'm off, I'm angry, I'm upset, all kinds of stuff. I've added alcohol or drugs or caffeine or nicotine or doing dangerous sports to get the epinephrine going in my brain, because that will fill it. There's a lot of things that will fill this. But guess what? Now it looks like this, and I actually feel a little better when I'm doing that, but my brain starts making less. So it went from here to hear. I don't get better, I get worse. And so I need more of whatever that is. I need more nicotine. I need more caffeine. I need more drugs. I need more alcohol. I need more dangerous sports that fire up that adrenaline. So now my brain is off and I'm in this whole other direction and I got addicted to stuff. Okay, so in this couple, getting back to that, I'm angry with God. I don't want anything to do it. And they get involved in all kinds of addiction stuff. And so the end result is they leave and the guy goes, I don't want this. I don't want you to leave. Okay, now, I know you're not saying that's every case and it sounds like I'm making one that is way out there. But believe it or not, there are so many people, and in this room too, with chemical imbalances. It's epidemic. It is epidemic because of our society. You work a lot of hours. You have a lot of stress. Your kids don't do well. You've had losses. You've had a lot of this uncontrollable pain. It affects your brain chemistry. You came from a place that you didn't ask for with your parents. Could have had alcoholism or could have had a drug addiction or could have had a mood disorder or could have had all kinds of stuff that got the chemistry off. You may not be producing enough and you may be prone to stuff that you go, I don't get it. I work really hard. I pray, I read the word, but I have a really hard time. I have a hard time making that circle. I don't get what's going on with me. Well, it's because a lot of you guys, as well as a lot of the world at large, has had traumas in your life, has chemical imbalance stuff, and it makes it really hard if we don't get the brain on in order to deal with life. And unfortunately, many of those people end in a divorce because they never figured out what was going on with their brain and they never solved some of those early problems. And so they weren't that ideal of two people who loved God, loved each other, surrendered their life and said, we're making this commitment, and they stay with it. If they did that, if they took care of their health, if they took care of their love relationship, if they got encouragement, if they came to get help, I believe in miracles. I believe that God can heal all kinds of relationships. And I've helped people with horrible situations in their life, and they stay together because they got all of this help and they got a lot of healing. And it's a beautiful thing. I want everybody to do that. But unfortunately, people come from these backgrounds, their chemistry is off. Their world has been shattered. They get involved in all kinds of stuff, whether it be addictions or affairs or other things. And then they feel so shameful and they feel so overwhelmed and they feel dead on the inside that they give up. They give up in a relationship. And it's heartbreaking. It breaks my heart. I don't want anybody to give up. That's why we're talking today. I want everybody to know how much God loves them. I want everybody to have a great day no matter what circumstances come. But it doesn't work that way. And so I don't have the easy answer with why so many divorces, Christian, non-Christian, except that I know that I don't have the easy answer on how to fix all of those if everybody won't do the things that will help. But if people will, no matter if their chemistry is off, that's the good news. Today we have so much help, and I'm thrilled with all of the stuff out there. You may think that there's part of a racket, and there is, about supplements and about herbs and, you know, and essential oils and all this stuff. I mean, we're inundated with all these things on health. But the truth is, we're learning more and more about the brain and the body and how God designed it to be. And if we operate the way that God designed it, the body works better, the brain works better, and it's easier to make decisions. It's easier to have that linear thinking. It's easier to have less pain in our life, and it's a good thing. So I can't encourage you enough on all of those levels, how to deal with the controllable pain to make that circle, how to get your body and your brain working right in that sense so that life is easier for you, and how to have a wonderful, loving relationship with God and with other people around. It's good. So are we addressing some of what you're asking? Okay. Yeah, shatters. It's heartbreaking. Yeah.
It's the norm.
It's the norm. Throw it away.
Leave it.
I totally agree.
So much easier than actually getting in there and fixing the root problem.
You got it. Because it's what I said before, this commonality, how God has designed us. He designed us to where we don't want a lot of pain. We don't want a lot of conflict. We don't want a lot of struggle in relationships. So those that don't get what we get about working with the Lord, and some are, and a lot of them are Christian, they just go, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And they do give up. Too many give up too early, and too many give up just without that help. And that's what breaks my heart. I know, like you do, if they would only get the right kinds of things in their life, if all the stuff that was unresolved from their childhood, if all the stuff that was in their heart that they were angry and bitter and that they were, you know, they were stuck in that place. They get stuck here. If they wouldn't do that and get the right kind of help so that they could do this and whatnot and not give up and have other people that build into their world, I can't emphasize that enough, guys, that if you don't have those good relationships, I'm not talking about people that are difficult, okay? We have enough of those in our life, but I'm talking about good guys with good hearts, good people that love us. I believe God will give us a circle of people, like men who I call will die for me, that they love me so much, they would sacrifice their life. I can call these guys 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and whatever I need, they're going to be there for me, okay? They love me. We need those kinds of people. If you got some of those people in your world and you are those kinds of people to other people, it helps with that because they'll encourage us not to give up and they'll fight for us and they'll go, you know, something else is going on here. Let's see, where did this come in your life? You know, maybe you need to get some help here or come over. Let's spend some time talking about this. Or how's your brain chemistry doing? Tell me about your history, you know. What are you eating today? You know, what do you got going there? Yeah, this eating thing. Okay, I'm changing gears for a second because I get all over everywhere.
Speak on beliefs and expectations.
Right on. Beautiful. You know, I like that. Okay, I'm gonna change gears from where I was. Remind me to go back to where I was gonna go, but I want to answer that one. That is so right. Just in brain. Let me talk brain chemistry from the neurology end of this because that's so good, and that's why we even did this mind drift thing. If you focus on those things, I can't do this. I can't do this. What happens in the brain? Okay, we're in California, so go to the beach. You're at the beach. And you get both of your hands and you dig out a little bit of a tunnel of sand. Okay, now you got this huge beach ball and you throw it, having dug this out about 4 or 5 times. You throw that beach ball, it hits there once, it bounces out. You dig this 100 times. Now it's about this wide and this deep. You throw it, it stays in there and it bounces a couple times. Okay, you dig it another 1,000 times. Okay, now it's this wide and this deep. You throw that beach ball, it stays there. Neural pathways in the brain. Memory traces in the brain. Why do we remember our name so much? We've said it a million times. We've heard it a million times. So when you repeat something negatively and when you get a philosophy that's unhealthy and you start adding stuff into that philosophy, the brain remembers it and it kind of just goes right to that track. I can't do this. We need to give up. Life is too hard. Whatever that negative thing is, or the positive is. You know, God will help me. Loving relationships can work. Whatever you put, all I'm saying in your brain is it has this whole mapping. It has these neural pathways. And the longer that you stay on whatever it is where your brain will go. So if you've got one of these negative neural pathways or an unhealthy philosophy of life, you got to kick dirt, sand into that one and start a new neural pathway of something that's really healthy for you. And that's why good relationships, time in the Word, time in prayer, making this circle. See, part of this circle has a lot to do with neurochemistry. Why do I not want to stay here? And why do I express all my emotions? And why do I try and stay here as much as I can? I'm making new neural pathways in my brain. The more that I do this and the less that I'm here, guess what? It's easier to do this. And so this practice, there are many things that are really incredibly painful because of my day and all the stuff. But I'll be honest with you. It doesn't take me long to make that circle because I've created these neural pathways that over and over and over and over I'm thinking on God's love and how great He loves me and great relationships and how you know, again, healthy philosophy. Yes, sir.
It's like I'm involved with cancer, not me, but my family.
Right. Yes. No, you're right. Yeah. Well, it's more than the placebo effect. It's his question was sometimes people's thinking can alter the outcome of their health. And that's some of what I was going back to those studies that they did like at UCLA and whatnot with happy, you know, I Love Lucy things and good relationships. It actually builds neurochemistry and it also fights off some of those pathogens and some of those, you know, toxins within the body, irregular cells of cancer, et cetera, to actually change those. And that's a whole topic within itself that we could spend some time on, but we won't. Okay, it's 10:10. I don't know what time we're supposed to quit. Now? Did I go too long? Okay, all right. Good. We're done, right? No more questions. Oh, okay. Well, I need to give you guys a break. We're cutting it. Jason's giving me the signal. We're done here. Okay, guys, thank you. It's a great time. God bless you. Love you. And good.